Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give Jesus a clap offering for that. How many of you are waiting on God for your miracle? How many of you waiting on God for your breakthrough? You hang in there, you anchor in. You anchor in. He will not be late. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Anchor in. Stay. Fight your battle. He will show up. He will show through. I pray that that word would have been something for someone today, taken from John chapter 11, where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. So hang in there. And now it's my turn. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. How many of you are here for the first time? Can we see your hands, please? Is there anybody? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I see a number of hands. Hallelujah. Praise God. Welcome to Love and Truth Community Church. One of the things that I like about this church is that we are a community church. We have a number of ministries that we get involved in with the community. And we do such good work that it is well spoken of in the community. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. And that touches the heart of God. But today I want to talk to you not about the community church part, but about the love and truth part. Because we are called as Love and Truth Community Church. Love and truth are two prime virtues that a Christian should have. It should have them in their lives. These are non-compromising virtues that we need to have as Christians, especially in the day and the time that we live in. They are parallel with each other, love and truth. But today, in the day and the time that we live in, even more so, it needs to be emphasized in our lives. Now, love and truth can be, as I said, are parallel principles of a Christian's life. But we got to be careful, because when we take one of these two into an extreme, then we can fall short of the blessings of God. You can be so loving that you're outside of truth. Or you can stand on truth so much that there is no love on the inside of you. You can turn people away. But we got to be careful here, because there is a balance. Yes, God is love, so it's good. It's easy. God is love. And Virginia is for lovers, so it's good. We can all get by. Easy and truth, love and truth. But today, in the day, in the time that we live in, we are not living in a good time. It is a time that Christians are being ostracized, are being set aside, set apart. Hostility is coming against the church. It shouldn't surprise us. It has already been prophesied such. They say that today the Christians can be considered as stuck up, narrow-minded, because that bunch of people only believe that only through Jesus can you get to heaven, which is true. Stuck in old traditions, non-progressive, closed-minded, intolerant, practicing bigotry, prejudiced, divisive, judgmental. And with all this that is coming as an attack to the Christians and the Christian churches, then there is an extreme that they go to when they become tolerant. Then they become accepting, which means anything that even falls short of the standard of the truth, they become accepting. Then they become into that seeker-friendly mode. Come anybody with whatever that you're believing, we are universal. We're accepting in every way. And then we get into that place of compromise. Lord, have mercy. Love and truth must be balanced. Love and truth must be according to God's word. Love and truth must be led not by a human condition, but by the Spirit of God. Lazarus was raised. Now, let's get that clear. Lazarus was not resurrected. Lazarus was raised from the dead. But when he was raised from the dead, he was still bound. And he needed to be let loose. Jesus says, loose him and let him go. Christians, if we are not careful, then we become like Lazarus. Yes, we have experienced the blessings of the power of God, that we are raised from the dead, raised from a situation that nulled us out, but we are still bound. Even churches got to be careful. They need to be let loose. But it can only be done by love and truth as two parallel virtues going alongside with each other. I want to get into some place through the scriptures so that we know how to balance love and truth. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day. Hallelujah. Praise God for that Baptist preacher who knew that he had to take up his stand for the truth. But he knew that he had to fight for what is truth, and he knew that he had to stand up for the truth. Ended up giving up his life. That's for tomorrow as we celebrate Martin Luther King Day. A man, a godly man, a man who was a Christian, who was a pastor of a church, and how he learned that in his time he had to stand up for the truth, stand up even though it was going to go against the known tradition, and then he changed the course of history when it comes to civil rights movement. Hallelujah, praise be unto God. We are living in a day that is so challenging. In 5 days, we will have the inauguration. Lord, have mercy, the things that are being spoken of. Lord, have mercy. We got so much to pray. In 5 days, Lord, I pray that we will see ourselves through this period of time where it's even being divided such. Let us be coming together as in prayer for this. But in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. Jesus said that. I'm glad Jesus didn't say, we are the way, meaning there are many others, the truth and the life. And no one goes to the Father except through me and a few others. He didn't say that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes to the Father except through me. My family and I, we came from Malaysia 20 years ago. And we were Christian for many, many years. And for 30 years prior to coming, we held our belief and our truth on this Word of God. And guess what? I found that the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever across the globe. I didn't have to change my belief. This is what I practice in Asia. Jesus is the same. His principles of love and truth applies across the globe. Then when I hear that Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. Then I believe in it. Call me narrow-minded. Then if in that case, I am. Because the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. In other words, Jesus is the way. That is the truth. That is the truth. I know I can be ostracized for this belief, but that is the truth. If I say, no, I don't believe in that, then I'm telling somebody, then you can get to heaven by your way or whichever way it is. That's a lie. That's a lie. We are in a crossroads as a church and as Christians. Truth is beckoning on us. Truth is calling upon us to stand for what we believe in. We are getting onslaught. We are. As Christians across the nations, across the globe, whether it's being attacked by ISIS or so many places, but it's because we are called to stand on the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus says to the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, and you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you abide in my word, and you will be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I am in that process. I'm saying, Lord, teach me your ways. Teach me your truth, because I know that when I know your truth, I can be set free. like Lazarus, I can be set free. Let all the dead man's clothes be taken away, grave cloth be taken away from my thinking, my believing, because truth will set me free. Love and truth are parallel, as I'm going to come back to you on that. John chapter 16, verse 13 to 14. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, and he will take what is mine, which is the truth, and declare it to you. That is the purpose that God has given to the church, that the Spirit of truth that God has given to us through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of truth, is going to reveal to us. But guess what? We have a responsibility of letting this truth out. Christ is not to be confined within a church. Christ is not to be confined within Christianity. He belongs to humanity. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way. We have a responsibility of growing and putting the truth out. Jesus is in need in the world, and we have a responsibility. Love and truth are parallels. They have to go together, but with wisdom. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 15, this is what Jesus says. And Paul writes to the Ephesian church, and he says here, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Jesus Christ. We are called to speak the truth in love. Love and truth are parallel virtues, but in the day, in the time that we live in, we got to up our game, up our calling. God is going to use us to bring forth the message that is going to usher in his second coming. And it's coming. But we must be able to not just speak, but declare and make known the truth that is in Jesus Christ. But speaking the truth in love. Let me read to you a letter. I'm going to read to you a letter. This is a letter that was written by a man who was writing to a lady. And this lady is a member of a church. She has a hospitality ministry. And in her home, what she does is she makes her home available for itinerant ministers of the gospel to stay in her house whenever they're passing through a time of ministering of the gospel. But something went to the information of this man, so he writes a letter to her. Let me read to you. The elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. In case you're wondering where I'm reading this, it is the 63rd book of the Bible. It is the second epistle of John. It's in your Bible, the second epistle of John. So he writes to this elect lady, as he said, grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we received commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, as though not I write a new commandment to you, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. It is good. It is good to walk in love. Love is a calling. Love is the goodness of God upon us to walk in love. Then halfway in verse 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ has coming in the flesh. Ah, there are some false teachers. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things which we worked for, but that we should, that we may receive a full reward. Verse 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in all his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. What an interesting episode. What a time. Watch how the apostle of love writes an epistle to this lady. Simply he's saying, it is commendable of you to show your love as you're walking in love, but your love is not according to truth. You got to be careful. Love must go alongside with truth. If you open your doors to anybody, and that would include a false teacher, then you could lose even that love which you're trying to express. That's a challenging portion of a letter here. That in itself explains the whole letter that is about. But love and truth in the day that we, time we live in, is a time that we are called and challenged to walk in truth. Walk in truth in such a way that there is a place where we can say there is hard truth and there is a soft truth. There is a hard way of looking at the truth of God and there is a soft way. Soft way will cause us to compromise. And that we got to be careful and cautious in the day and the time that we live in. We have our children whom we are sending to the public school system. Lord have mercy, we got so much to pray for. We got so much to cover our children because we are being exposed. The world is being exposed to things that are creeping into the system. And we got to be careful. We got to teach our children how to balance between love and truth. What do you expect? What do you accept? And what can you stand up for? It is not easy in the day and the time that we live in. We as grown-ups, the things that we were exposed to were nothing compared to what they are being exposed to today. So even more so as a church, we got to come together and pray and uphold one another, uphold our children. We work in a community, we work in the marketplace, and we are being exposed to things that we are seeing on a daily basis. How then do we learn by the Spirit of God to balance between love and truth? How do we stand on truth? And at the same time, how can we be led by the Spirit of God to show love on the midst of it without compromising truth? As John writes to that elect lady, you are doing a great job. You are doing a hospitality ministry. Praise be unto God. They would be blessed staying at your house and going along their way. But be careful. Do not open the door, nor greet them, nor allow them into your house if they are so far off from the truth, because you can lose all things. All it takes is a small compromise. It is the little foxes that spoils the vine. And we got to be careful in these days. Parents, grandparents, we got ministry. We got ministry to uphold one another and our children. God is calling upon us. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30, Jesus speaks about the parable of the weed and the tares. Let me just quickly read it to you. Verse 24, and he says, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seeds in his field. But while men slept, his enemy, which means the worldly system, whether it's the media, the worldly system, or those who are out by the way of Abel, out by the way of Cain, and those who are of the Antichrist spirit are sowing all kinds of seeds. And they came and they sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servants said to him, do you want us to go and gather them up? But verse 29, he says, but he said, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. We got to be careful. If I want to talk about just children alone, we got so much to pray for. They can spend about 2.5 hours to 3 hours on a Sunday, and about maybe 2.5 to 3 hours on a Wednesday, 6 hours. But how long do they spend in a public school system? At least some 30 some hours. We got work to do. We are planting wheat in their life, but they come home with tares. How are you going to pull that out? You got to be careful, because tares has a way of releasing its roots and getting entangled with the roots of the wheat. You got to be careful. If you pull the tares out, you pull the whole wheat out. How do you spend time? How do you balance between love and truth? How do you teach them? I know this is a hard message, but like I said, I feel that there is this urgency. There is this sense of urgency in this year that we have entered into. An urgency of no more to play church. Love and truth are parallel virtues that we got to up, we got to increase, we got to have an understanding. Yes, we are called to love, but love with truth. Truth has to undergird our acts of love. We got to tell it like it is, but we got to learn that we got to be led of the Spirit here, lest we pull the wheat out as we are trying to pull the tares out. I work in the community as a program manager over a 16-bed residential treatment center. And these are people that we admit for those who are in their last step of just committing suicide. Not just committing suicide, they could even be on the verge of committing homicidal intentions. And we get them from the hospitals across the state. And then they are also substance use. And I got to be careful, because telling them the truth may hurt them in a sense, because they already know what's wrong with them. So I got to be careful by telling them the truth with love. With love. I can't call an alcoholic, because he's already an alcoholic. It makes no difference. And we are having to deal with such children today. Fred, as I was talking to him, he went into Vietnam at age 18, right? Today, our 18-year-olds are locking themselves in their room because their feelings got hurt. Back then, 18-year-old went to fight for the nation in Vietnam. Today, their feelings got hurt. And the parents no longer knowing how to balance between love and truth. I don't want to hurt their feelings by telling them the truth. But you are not only enabling them, you are disabling them. We got to tell them. But there is a balance between love and truth. If you know somebody who's on the way of heading towards self-destruction, we got to tell them the truth. I'm not saying you tell it just like it is, because some people will say, oh, I'm the kind of person who just tell it like it is. Be careful if it is not led by love. Truth must be backed with love. Love and truth are parallel virtues. And I know we got some school teachers here who are teaching children, and they come from broken families. But love and truth got to go with each other. Jesus was a person that we can learn from. And he is such that we can learn from his principles. But what the Word of God tells us is this. Let me read some things to you. The Word of God calls us to be humble, but not timid. The Word of God calls us to be kind, but not weak. We are to be simple, but not foolish. There is this calling upon us as a church and as Christians to establish ourselves in this virtue of love and truth in its perspective. Because lives can be saved by the ministry that God can use through us in the way that we can minister life to them. We are to be honest, but not intimidated. We are called to be proud of being a Christian, but not arrogant or prideful. We can stand for the truth and still be loving. God is calling upon us. Let me read to you a part in John chapter 8. We are familiar with this. In John chapter 8, there is a part here. It says in verse 2, "Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him. He sat down and taught them." Verse 3, "Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?'" Look at how they're trapping Jesus. They're presenting a truth. A woman was caught in adultery in the very act of it. Now, interesting that you would think that she committed adultery by herself. Because where is the other person? But that tells you the mindset of these people, the Pharisees and the scribes here. But they are challenging and trying to corner Jesus with the truth. According to the law of Moses, she ought to be stoned. They are presenting a truth. What do you do? What does Jesus do? What does Jesus do? I like this portion because when I read and meditate on the scriptures, I not only want to learn what Jesus says, I also want to learn about how he does certain things. Because there is so much that we can learn in the way that he handled. Now he's being presented with a truth. According to the law of Moses, she was caught in the very act. She ought to be stoned. That's the truth. That's in the law. But let's read on to this. Verse 6. "This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him." But I like this part. It says, "But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear." Now, why was Jesus doing that? He stooped down. If I was to visualize what is happening here, they would have thrown that woman right in front of Jesus to the ground in such an aggressive manner. And the scripture here says, Jesus stooped down. In other words, he went down to her level. He went down to her level. He identified with her. Verse 7, "So when they continued asking him," and then I like this part, "he raised himself and said to them, 'He who is without sin among you, let him throw the first stone.' And again, he stooped down." He stands up, tells the Pharisees and the scribes, "He among you who is without sin, let him cast the first stone." Then he stooped down back to her level. That's Jesus. Look at him confronting truth. Look at him when he's placed in that situation. Because love and truth, as I'm sharing with you, there will be some situation that you are being placed into and you're wondering, what do you do? If you're in an office situation where you are being called out because you're a Christian, because you stand up for truth, is somebody experiencing that today? What is going on? Or unless we are such that we are called secret, we are Christians, but we are in the secret service. Nobody knows. No, we can do that. We can do that. There is no secret service in Christianity. Your light got to shine. Your light has to shine. There is no such thing as secret Christian or becoming like submarine Christians where on Sunday you just float up to the top. On Sundays you go through and then next day then you just go back underwater and nobody knows where you exist. And then you pop up back again. I call them the submarine Christians. But we got to be careful. Jesus stoops down. Then, interestingly, he says this. Verse 10, when he raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to a woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She says in verse 11, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. Do you see love and truth flowing from his heart? No judgment, no condemnation. Just a few minutes ago, she was getting ready to be stoned. He was getting ready to be stoned. If there was one person in that midst who could have thrown the first stone, it was Jesus, because he was without sin. He was without sin. But he says, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. See love and truth. How Jesus does that in that sense. But Jesus, we got to learn now. We got to learn because you got to understand. Because in John chapter 18, there was this time that Jesus was standing before Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate was asking Jesus, what is truth? Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? Guess what? Jesus didn't answer him. There are times you just zip it. There are times, be careful, the enemy will try to corner you or corner us into getting into battles which we have no business into. You got to know your seasons and your time. They are out there. It's coming. It'll be there. We got to teach our young children, teach our youth, and just watch our mouth. And love and truth can go in its way of seeing how we can be used by God. Coming back, a few more scriptures, and I'm going to close for this evening. For this afternoon, Jesus, as I said, is a person, sometimes I would consider him as like unpredictable, but I like that because he's led of the Spirit. In John chapter 8, verse 44, you know what he told the Pharisees and the scribes? He was telling them the truth, but look at this in verse 44, you are of your father, the devil. Doesn't he give you shivers? You are of your father, the devil. The desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. That was Jesus calling out the Pharisees and the scribes and telling them the truth. Now, I don't see no love in that. But there are times you got to do it. There are times you got to call it out. If you love somebody, there are times you got to say it. You got to say it. Because their salvation hangs in the balance. When an abuser is in the practice of abusing, the truth got to be told. Got to be told, and they got to be rescued from such. Truth has to be told. Truth has to be stand up to. Yes, there is that balance between love and truth, but like Jesus does here in John chapter 8, he calls them out like it is. I don't know who God is going to use today, this afternoon, and wherever you are, I pray that you will hear the voice of God. our love and our truth to God to be put in peril, processing in such a way that we do not just become soft-hearted, that we love unconditionally, accept everything like it's given, without balancing it with the truth, which is God's word. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when you know the truth will set you free. We are called in such a time as this. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 14. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist, which is your belt, with truth. That was your first piece of your armor. Your waist, let it be girded around your waist with truth. I did one time a visualization, this belt, and my mind somehow went to a police officer. Have you seen the police officer's belt? That big, solid, thick belt, and he holds all kinds of gadget. It went a bit off there because I could imagine his belt holding pepper spray and the gun and the taser. No, that's not what the Bible is saying. That's not what the Bible is saying. Put on your waist around the belt of truth, and so that we can withstand in the last days the onslaughts of the devil. Be careful. Put on the waist belt of truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So my friends, as we come down to a close this afternoon, love and truth are such virtues that we got to have in our lives. And they must be placed in our lives in the way that we speak, in the way that we walk, and the way that we represent ourselves. Because the world out there is looking for this truth. Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit of truth has come, he will reveal all this to us. And when we know this truth will set us free. And I pray first, we are to be set free. The truth will set us free. When we are free, then we can speak the word of truth in love, speaking the truth in love, when there is the time for it, and then telling people like it is, because their salvation is at risk. And we talk to our children. May we lead our children in the path of truth, because, like I said, they are being exposed. And there are those whom we call as loved ones, even in the workplace, in the marketplace, wherever they are being exposed to it, and there is a call for us to compromise. We got to be careful. We got to be careful lest we become accepting, compromising, and soon we'll be called out. And then we go into Revelation chapters 2 and 3 and how Jesus calls out the seven churches because they compromised. They fall short of their first love. Friends, we are called to be peacemakers. We are called to be firm, standing on the truth, while being caring and loving. We are called to love the unlovable, and that can be hurtful. We are called to put on tender mercies, loving the sinner but hate the sin. We like that. That's a famous saying. Oh, I just love the sinner but I hate his sin. How are you going to tell that you hate the sin? How are you going to speak the truth But of course, we speak the truth in love. We tell it. We call it out. We call it out. I am in a line of work that the clients that I see through my program are just on the verge of one last step before they cross over and they die. To me, that is my ministry. I got to make sure that the clinicians under me and the people that I'm responsible for are giving the best they can. But I do tell them in a way, make sure you tell them the truth, but balance it with love. Balance it with a caring attitude. We're going to see coming through our doors people who are going to come through and just fall flat and say, I surrender. And we got to learn to take them into the place of God, pray for them, pray with telling them the truth, but also with love. But we got to be careful because we cannot approve what God disapproves. The truth is to be told, the truth is to be stand on, but we cannot bypass that without being loving. It is a parallel truth. And Christ, as I said earlier, is not to be confined within the church. Or Christ is not to be confined within Christianity. He belongs to the humanity. It is upon you and I. It is upon you and I. Stand with me to your feet, please. I'm not sure how this message would have touched you.